Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks, as always, for listening. Pythons, climate change, poetry, and spray paint. You know, that's just a normal day's work in any newsroom, certainly here at WLRN in South Florida. These real stories reported by WLRN News are the inspiration for four original fictional radio plays. We call it Inspired by WLRN. Four South Florida playwrights have created fictional radio plays based on real news stories reported right here by WLRN News. And the plays are going to be performed live next Saturday night, March 11th at 7 o'clock at the Wolfsonian FIU's Radio Fest. Now, you can find out how to get tickets on our website at WLRN.org. Look for the Radio Fest banner. It's all right there for you. Kenny Finkel is joining us via Skype from his office in New York. He is a playwright and helped usher this project through. And Vanessa Garcia, playwright for the radio play The Space Between Us, is with us in studio. Vanessa, your radio play is based on an interview that WLRN did with Richard Blanco, the inaugural poet and the poet who wrote a poem and delivered a poem at the opening of the reopening of the U.S. Embassy in Havana a couple of years ago. I'm going to play a little bit of that in a couple of seconds. But what inspired you? What grabbed you about this story to write a fictional radio play?
Well, I mean, I'm obsessed with Cuba because I'm an American-born Cuban. So just that idea was the initial pull. But when I started to listen to the interview that Christine DiMattei did with him right before he read the poem at the opening of the embassy, there was one moment in it that he sort of broke into tears. There was a sort of lapse in his composure that was really beautiful. And it was about, he said, he was talking about the emotional embargo that existed between the United States and Cuba, or really between the Cubans of the diaspora. And he was talking about his mother and his sister. And I thought immediately, those are my two characters, the sisters.
Let's listen to this interview done just a few days before he delivered the poem in Havana. First is a portion of the interview that Richard Blanco did with Christine DiMattei of WLRN, and then a portion of the poem while he was on the Malecón in Havana.
I think we're not recognizing each other as human beings as much as we could and talking on a very human level, all because there's the political divide. And so if we can form that bond, get some of those gripes out of the air. You know, my mother needs to talk. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional myself. My mother needs to talk to her sisters and tell her what it felt like to leave that country.
The sea doesn't matter. What matters is this. We all belong to the sea between us. All of us, once and still the same child who marvels over starfish, listens to hollow shells, sculpts dreams into impossible castles.
Richard Blanco reading his poem at the opening, the reopening of the U.S. Embassy in Havana. It previously was the interview that WLRN's Christine DiMattei did with him. Vanessa Garcia, who's written a fictional radio play based upon that interview. That is that emotional moment.
Yeah.
Why try to recapture that?
I just felt like that was the human core to this more universal issue that he was trying to talk about, not just about bringing Cubans within Cuba, within the diaspora together, but also people in general from two different spaces, from different cultures. I mean, in essence, it's part of what we're dealing with right now every day on a daily basis. So it was just that human kernel that inspired the piece, because that's what art is. So
the mentor of this program, Kenny Finkel, is with us via Skype from New York. Kenny, all art arguably is based on some real events, or at least real experiences. How did the playwrights approach this project?
The playwrights did a lot of research on their own and looked for stories that they connected to personally, and found their own way in through, you know, the work that you guys have on through WLRN. And we sort of asked the writers to look for stories that tried to, well, connect to them personally, and then also connect to what it means to live in Miami, or what does Miami mean in the national conversation, and how do you connect the personal and the sort of larger ideas of the country and the world.
This is a target-rich environment for news stories, and certainly from a fictional aspect, it draws so much inspiration and has drawn inspiration through years and years and years of literature. Another one of the radio plays used a uniquely South Florida feature as an inspiration, python hunting in the Everglades.
As you walk up on him and he get over his head, you got to commit. You cannot hover. over a python's head.
It's about 10:30 on a Tuesday morning, and python catching class is in session at the Bill Sadowski Nature Center in Palmetto Bay. Eight students are learning to identify and safely capture pythons. They're trying to catch training snakes on the front lawn. Those are pythons from the wild that have already been caught. Instructor Jenny Novak cautions a student who's about to break the cardinal rule of python catching. Don't poke the snake.
The cardinal rule, don't poke the snake. Kate Stein was an intern when she reported that story for us here at WLRN News, and one of the playwrights has used that as the jumping off point. Kenny, how about the role of South Florida in these stories? What kind of role does it play?
Well, it seems to be its own character. I mean, in each of the stories, I think in every one of them, the response of, you know, how does South Florida deal with a certain perspective or issue seems to be central. And Stephanie's story that's inspired by, how to talk to your kids about, and I don't want to give it away, about climate change.
Story, right. Yeah, how to talk to your kids about climate change without terrifying them.
Right. And how that's affecting Miami is so obviously clear through all the flooding and stuff that's going on. And what was it? What animal was just found in somebody's garage recently that seemed to be from the ocean that shouldn't have been there? And sort of just how that's in William's play, that's sort of about the life of graffiti and how that's changed in Miami and grown from being something that was a crime to something that's now has its own whole section of Miami and is, you know, flipped over into becoming art. It's sort of just sort of how Miami has its own beat and pulses in its own way, and how that affects the rhythm of the stories and the people that live there.
Vanessa Garcia, as a playwright here, you're also a journalist too. Mm-hmm. News can be stranger than fiction, certainly in South Florida. So as you were fictionalizing some of these real stories, what challenge did that present?
Well, I mean, specifically in this case, it was, okay, fictionalizing the story, being true to the nugget that attracted you in the first place, but then also being free enough to make it something else. And so there was that challenge, and also the challenge of making it specifically for radio, which is another animal altogether, yeah. You know? And so, like, it was when I spoke to Richard Blanco, for example, on the phone. And he was in the mountains in Maine, and I couldn't hear him very well. And it was staticky. And then it was raining in my car, not inside my car. It was raining outside. I could hear the rain outside. I could hear him static. I could hear the static everywhere. And I was like, okay, somehow this soundscape is going to play into the actual play. And it ended up being that there are two sisters in a kitchen, and it's raining outside, and the rain plays a real element to it. So it was, you know, how do you bring in that sound as a character? Not just Miami, but now it's sound, and how does that play in and fold into everything?
Don't give too much away. It's next Saturday night when we'll have the premiere of the radio plays that have been inspired by WLRN News. It's at Radio Fest, which is a partnership with the Wolfsonian FIU on Miami Beach. You can find out how to get tickets on our website at WLRN.org. Vanessa Garcia, one of the four playwrights who has written a short radio play based and inspired by WLRN News stories. Kenny Finkel is the playwright who was the mentor in this project. Kenny, you mentioned the story regarding climate change. This was a story about how to teach climate change to middle school students that was reported by our Rowan Moore Garrity. Let's take a listen.
If greenhouse effect is good, Zach, what's...
Bertha Vasquez and her students are trying to tease out the distinction between carbon dioxide's contribution to the greenhouse effect, which helps make the planet warm enough for life to survive, and global warming.
I don't understand. Carbon dioxide is perfectly harmless to me. I can breathe it in and breathe it out. Why? What's the difference in terms of fossil fuels, Penny?
You're bringing things out of the ground, and you're adding to the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
But Ms. Vasquez didn't always teach this way. Most teachers don't. A study in the journal Science this spring found that half of U.S. science teachers spend less than 2 hours on climate change each year.
You can't depress the hell out of them if you want them to start looking for solutions. So I don't really go there.
One of the stories that is the basis for a fictional radio play. Kenny Finkel, Vanessa talked about the challenges that presenting a fictional playwright when writing a radio play. How did the group encounter that? How did they overcome it?
How did they overcome writing radio plays,
yeah.
You mean?
Or, yeah, versus just a traditional theater style that they were used to.
Well, we thought a lot about what stories need to be heard more than seen, and what does it mean to hear a story? And we played a lot in workshop with making sounds and thinking about what sounds would tell us what's happening, and also what those sounds would evoke for an audience and how that could pull an audience into a story more viscerally or more surprisingly.
Vanessa, was it surprising about closing your eyes and thinking of that sound and pulling that in as an audio cue versus writing a stage direction?
It was, and it also made sense perfectly with the piece that I ended up choosing, because it's Richard Blanco, who's a poet, who is all about, you know, orality and sound, right, and beats. And so somehow that match played really well. And then all of a sudden I found myself, just because I had switched gears, thinking that way. And so I had also researched a piece by Alicia Zuckerman, mm-hmm, and she had interviewed also, or was talking to Richard Blanco about cooking with his mother in a kitchen in Maine. And then all of a sudden I could hear it. It wasn't in the piece, but I could hear it in his poem. I could hear the sounds, you know, of the spoons and the forks and the spices and everything sort of playing out in audio.
It's a group of four short radio plays inspired by real stories on WLRN. It is with the Wolfsonian FIU's Radio Fest next Saturday night at 7 o'clock, March 11th. You can find out how to get tickets on our website, WLRN.org. Our thanks via Skype to Kenny Finkel, who shepherded this project through with the four playwrights, and one of those, Vanessa Garcia, the playwright for The Space Between Us. Thanks so much, both of you, for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Two more items on our way out today. First, honesty. Great journalism, like great art, is honest. It confronts biases with truth. Fake news is a hot topic these days, alternative facts and whatnot. But honesty is grounded in agreement about what the facts are. Mistakes can be admitted and corrected. And we saw this Sunday night at the Oscars.
This is not a joke. This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight. Best Picture.
A lot has been said about the Made in Miami Moonlight missing its Oscar moment on Sunday night, and it did miss that Oscar moment, at least that first exclamation of Best Picture. The examination about how the mistake has happened has been exhaustive, but in this age of media cynicism and truthiness, we witnessed a moment of real-time fact-checking, and Miami played a small role. Finally, remembering a broadcast pioneer. When Paul Kangas began reporting on the stock market, investors had to wait until the next day to get a stock quote. Stocks were priced in fractions, not decimals. The 401k was barely a year old, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average wasn't even 1,000 points. Today, it's 21,000 points. Paul was the stock market analyst and then co-anchor of the Nightly Business Report on PBS, based in Miami. The program was produced for more than 30 years out of South Florida, and Paul was the voice of the market for millions of Americans each night.
Rejuvenated by yesterday's relatively high volume rally, which resulted in nearly a 31-point closing gain on the Dow Industrial Average.
This is Paul back in 1992, delivering his nightly market report. For three decades, Paul walked investors through each day's trading activity with spirit, insight, and his dry Midwestern humor. He was a steady presence in times of turmoil, like Black Monday in October 1987.
The final hour saw the bottom drop out as more margin call and mutual fund liquidations, combined with all those wonderfully innovative computer-driven strategies, well, they pummeled the Dow Industrial Average down to a record loss of 508.32, putting it at 1738.74, which is also by far a record percentage loss of 22.5%.
I had the good fortune to work with Paul for a few weeks before his retirement. He was gracious, efficient, and only concerned with the financial facts of the day. Long after stock prices became available in real time on our smartphones, Paul would tell the story of a longtime viewer calling him. She would ask him each week for the prices of stocks in her portfolio because she wanted to hear it directly from Paul. You can still hear echoes of his market reporting style today on financial television, but his signature sign-off remains his alone, as it did on his final broadcast with Nightly Business Report on New Year's Eve 2009.
I bid farewell, look forward to the new challenges ahead, and for the last time on Nightly Business Report, I extend to all of you my wishes for the very best of goodbyes.
And those are our wishes as well, Paul. He died this week. He was 79 years old. That'll do it for the Florida Roundup. It is produced this week by Bridget O'Brien and Alicia Zuckerman. Our engagement editor is Katie Lepre. Teresa Frontado is our digital director. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. WLRN's program director is Peter J. Meritz, and our technical supervisor today, Jason Zabka. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Have a great weekend.